بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته everyone. Welcome to day one of the Secrets of Successful Marriage Conference 2022. It's almost 2023, but we like to have this conference as a bridge between one year and the next, inshallah ta'ala, to give us some new ideas, some new inspiration, some new role models, some new information in order to be able to win at this marriage thing. Now, what do I mean by winning at this marriage thing? Well, my name is Naima B. Robert, and I will be your host for the next 3 days, inshallah. And if you are already a subscriber on my channel, I would like to say a big welcome back and a jazakum allahu khairan. And if you haven't yet subscribed, please just subscribe now, click the button, join us, because on this channel we talk about marriage in the realest way possible, mashallah, and we talk about before marriage, during marriage, and potentially after marriage, right? So the next 3 days are going to be packed with an amazing array of speakers, mashallah, even more than there were last year. And last year was the bomb. But this year, there'll be even more speakers from a variety of backgrounds who will be sharing their expertise, their experience, their advice in all areas, before marriage, during marriage, and dealing with the challenges and what happens afterwards, right? And it's going to be all the stuff they never tell you. So this is not going to be your usual marriage conference where you hear the same things that you've heard time and time again. Alhamdulillah, and inshallah, we are going to be having our minds blown just a little bit by some of the takes that our speakers are going to bring onto this topic that everyone's talking about and everyone has questions about and everybody wants to get right, bi-idhnillah. So first and foremost, if you are watching live, put live in the chat. If you're watching on the replay, put replay in the comments. And I would love to make sure that this is the most interactive session possible. As I said, I'll be hosting throughout the 3 days, and there will be questions and answers. First and foremost, our VIPs will have priority access, but then also those of you who are active in YouTube, you will get to ask questions as well, inshallah. So keep the chat active, keep it focused. Make sure that you invite others to the live. If you've caught a live stream, share the video with others, take pictures, let people know where you are, and capture those gems all weekend, because I firmly believe that if you're here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought you here for a reason. There is something here for you. And every one of you will have come to this space looking for something different, needing something different, maybe wanting one thing, but needing something else. So I pray that you find what you are looking for and that you get what you need out of these 3 days, inshallah. So get your water, get your tea, get your coffee, and let's kick off with our first speaker, Alia Rayyan, who is, as you probably know, one of the presenters of Honest Tea Talks, and she's also the founder of Solace UK, that helps revert sisters in difficulty. And her talk is going to be a talk that we don't often, it's a topic that we don't often address when we are talking about marriage, but I thought it was fitting for us to kick off the conference on this note, because she's going to be speaking to us about laying the correct foundation for our marriage through building our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sister Alia, itfadali please. Welcome to the marriage conference. Welcome to Secrets of Successful Marriage. Jazakallah kullu khair for joining us.
Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, inna alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam, ar rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. I would just like to upload an image to begin with. So I'm just going to go to my whiteboard.
So okay. I'm going to give you the stage, inshallah, and come off, bismillah.
Thank you. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Can everyone see the board? Yeah. Right. Okay. So no pressure in being the first speaker for this conference, mashallah. And I feel that my topic is well suited to being the first topic of this 3-day conference. And I hope, inshallah, bi-idhnillah, by the end of the conference, you'll know why. So I'd like to start by sharing an excerpt from my upcoming book that's being published by Penguin called Ramadan Reflections. It's a guided journal that will be available in March. So do go to my Instagram, Alia_Umrayan, click on the link in my bio and pre-order that book. A lot of what I'm going to be speaking about today is a bit of a taster of what will come in that book. But just to start this first session off with an excerpt from my book, where I write, Your last day, which can occur at any time, that has already been predestined, is a prelude to the last leg of the journey of your soul. Your body will be washed, it will be shrouded, it will be prayed over. And as you are carried to your new home, you take nothing with you except how you spent the moments of your life. Secrets of successful marriages. Now, I love words. As a writer, I love words. I particularly love the titles that I'm given, but in particular, the title of this entire conference, Secrets of Successful Marriages. Now, that kind of got me thinking. If we break that down, we have the word secrets. Secrets are something that we keep hidden. Secrets are private. Secrets are things that are unknown to others. Let's look at the next word, successful. When we're successful, we've achieved something, and that achievement is measured by something or someone that awards that achievement, right? It could be a person, that person could be ourselves. We can say that we are the ones, you know, that will award us the title of being successful at A, B, C. It could be other people, it could be a body. And then marriages. Marriage is the coming together of two people. And in Islam, marriage is the coming together of two people to journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we put it together, secrets of successful marriages are things that we know that are unknown to others that make us successful in fulfilling the bond of marriage. Now, let's just sit with this a second. Let's sit with this. We can all claim that we have secrets. I would say, in fact, everyone has secrets. When the nikah is conducted, we enter into a marriage. But success, can we claim success? I would say that success is the only thing that has a question mark around it. We all have secrets. We are either married or unmarried, but success definitely has question marks around it. How do we know if we are successful wives? How do we know if we're successful husbands? How do we know if we are in a successful marriage? How do we know if our spouse is successful? And the reality is that although this conference is called The Secrets of the Successful Marriage, the reality is none of us can actually claim to be successful. None of us. None of us knows whether our marriage is successful. None of us knows whether we are successful wives or successful husbands. Because that award, my dear brothers and sisters, that title That title, that award is only granted by the Master of the heavens and the universe. That award is only granted by Allah Azza wa Jal. And here's why. Let me replace the word marriage with Muslim. So let's say this conference was called Secrets of a Successful Muslim. Secrets of a Successful Muslim. Can you ever claim to be a successful Muslim? I have this question. I'd like this question to be posed to anyone on YouTube. Can anyone tell me, can we ever claim to be a successful Muslim? Do we have anyone in Zoom or on YouTube? What would you say? Not sure if you can see the comments.
Checking now.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's have you on screen, my Sister Alia, because right now it's just a big white board.
Apologies.
Can hardly see you. Yeah.
Apologies.
If they can't. But people are saying, no, we can't. Nope. No, no.
I'm not sure how I would come out of this screen. Just give me a second.
If we stop screen share for now.
Yeah, it says that it stopped. Has it stopped? Okay, close whiteboard. There we are. Okay, I'm back. So people are saying, we can never claim to be a successful Muslim. Why? Why is it that we cannot claim? Because that right is only Allah's right. It's only Allah's right to state whether we have been a successful believer, whether we have been a successful Muslim, a successful Muslimah, right? So our level, our basic level of understanding, the basic level of understanding of any believer, any Muslim, is that our success in being a believer is only with Allah Azza wa Jalla. I think we're all in agreement with that, right? Now, marriage is a means of journeying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of the package of trying to be a successful believer. So being in a successful marriage can never actually be claimed by anyone. Being a successful wife or being a successful husband can never be claimed by anyone, because it's only Allah Azza wa Jal who knows the full intricacies, the full secrets of what goes on in our marriages, and can state whether we have been successful or not. We can try to be a good wife. We can try to be a good husband. Yes. We can try to be a wife that our husband is pleased with. Yes. We can try to be a husband that our wife is pleased with. Yes. We can try to fulfill our spouse's right. Yes. But success is actually the secret. It's something that we will never truly know. Now, that right there is the actual secret. That right there is the actual true secret. That Allah Azza wa Jal is the only one who knows if we've been successful in our role as wife or husband, whether we've been successful in working with our spouse to have a successful marriage. We put in the effort, we do our best, we evaluate, we review, we try harder. But the success, we will only know when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because He is the only one who can award that title, wives and husbands know that their secret is that their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what leads to becoming successful. And I'm going to say this, even if qadar Allah wa masha'a fal, that marriage ends. Now, what is our purpose? Our purpose, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Dhariyat, ayah 56, is to worship him. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we're breathing. That's why we're working. That's why we're getting married. That's why we're having children. That's why we do everything that we do, is to worship him. He knows the exact moment we were conceived. He knows the exact moment we were born and entered this world, entered this realm, entered this temporary realm, this dunya. He knows the exact moment we will leave this world. So we exist, my dear brothers and sisters, and we know this. I'm not telling you anything new. We exist in this dunya for the akhirah. We are here traveling. We are on a temporary journey to our final destination and our final home. It's as simple as that. Now, if you read the Quran, when you read the Quran, it's full of references that we will be resurrected. We will die. We will be resurrected. We will stand before Allah Azza wa Jal. And Jannah and Nar, heaven and hell, Jannah and Jahannam are real places. And not only are they real places, they are eternal places. Just as we know the only guaranteed thing in this world, in this dunya, is in fact death, so too, the only guaranteed thing we know about the akhirah, is that it is eternal. And with everything I've just mentioned, I would like to ask you a question. Knowing all of this, believing in all of this, trying our best to live with all of this, what is the most important thing in your life? And that's an actual question. What is the most important thing in your life? What is the priority? I'd like to know some of the answers to that question. What is the most important thing in your life? What is the priority? Naima, can you share what people are saying, please?
As there's a slight delay when it gets live streamed to YouTube, we have to give them a few seconds to catch
no
up.
No problem
inshallah.
At all.
Would love to hear from our VIPs who are in the room with us now. Y'all don't get off the hook, okay? We need to see this chat starting to move. So let's have some answers, inshallah. Sis, please repeat the question.
So the question is, with everything that I've just mentioned, what is the most important thing in your life? What is the priority? To worship Allah, I can see that. Anyone else in the VIP room?
Okay, we've got some answers coming through.
To get to Jannah.
Right, we've got the pleasure of Allah, to enter paradise, to be a successful worshiper. Someone says salah, someone says go to Jannah, someone says to attain Allah's pleasure, to connect all your actions to Allah, prior to prioritizing Allah before anyone and everything, having Allah at the forefront, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with us.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. Your soul is the most important thing. Your soul. Returning your soul to Allah in the best possible state is the most important thing, is the priority in this life, in this dunya, in this world. Your soul and its relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first before marriage. Your soul and its relationship with Allah comes first during marriage. Your soul and its relationship with Allah comes first after marriage. Your soul is everything. It's all you have. When you meet the angel of death and your time has come to an end in this life, it's only that which your soul put forth or didn't put forth that you'll be taking with you. Your soul is the priority. So what happens when you really internalize this, and when you live by this, when you live knowing that your soul is absolutely everything, your soul and its relationship with Allah is absolutely everything, let's look at it in terms of a person who is looking to get married. Okay. We're looking to get married, seeking a partner, and you're seeking a partner that prioritizes his or her soul too. Because you recognize that you are on this temporary journey, that you came from Allah and you'll be returning to Allah, and that your sole priority is to return your soul in the best possible state, your number one priority before getting married is to seek out a partner who prioritizes his or her soul as much as you prioritize your own. You end up seeking a partner who will aid that priority, who will be a means of upholding that priority, that wants your soul to be returned to Allah in its best possible state. You want someone whose focus in the marriage is that when you leave this world, you leave this world having been ever so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You leave this world with mountains of good deeds. You leave this world having had the best of character. You leave this world having done your best in all of your roles. You want a spouse who champions you, who pushes you towards all of that. When you know that your soul comes first, who are you looking at more? Who are you more concerned about before you get married in the pursuit of finding a spouse? When your soul is your absolute priority, who are you more concerned about? Is it the potential spouse? I would say no. When your soul is at the forefront, your soul and its relationship with Allah is at the forefront of your life, and even this process of wanting to find a spouse, then you'll be looking more at yourself than the spouse that you're seeking. You'll be asking yourself, am I actually ready? Am I actually ready to embark upon this journey of finding someone who prioritizes his soul as much as I do, and even more, who values my soul enough that the marriage will be one in which he's pushing me. He's literally pushing me, or she's pushing me towards Allah Azza wa Jal. You look at yourself, you look deep within yourself, and you ask yourself, what are my issues? What are my red flags? You know, when we think about red flags, we tend to think about red flags in terms of the other person, but what are mine? What do I need to heal from? How do I need to grow? What needs to change within me so that I can also prioritize his or her soul too? And you engage in so much dua that Allah brings someone who will be a means and not a hindrance on your journey to the Lord of the worlds. You see, when we think about the process of marriage, pre-marriage, we think about the questions we need to ask. We create profiles, you know, of ourselves, our name, our height, our preferences, a brief description about our achievements, and so on. And then we say, I want, you know, A, B, C, D, you know, in the spouse. But subhanAllah, we need to remember that a marriage is for the purpose of returning your soul back to Allah in its best possible state. And with that in mind, looking to marry has to have the priority of looking at yourself first. As you know, in as much detail as you look for a spouse to fulfill a certain criteria, you need to spend that time looking at yourself. You need to spend as much time in making dua, in fact, not as much time, more time making dua for your own soul and how your own self will participate in this marriage than what you want in a future spouse. And then I would say the most beautiful manifestation of prioritizing your soul in the quest to marry is in the form of istikhara. And anyone that kind of follows me on social media or has watched Honesty Talk will know that I always bring in istikhara in everything that I speak about. I live by istikhara. Istikhara for me is everything. SubhanAllah, it is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. When you prioritize your soul and you're speaking to someone and you've made a decision to marry or not to marry, and you lift that decision up to Allah Azza wa Jal, you are taking it to Him in Salat al-Istikhara, knowing that He knows your future, knowing that He knows when you're going to pass away, knowing that He knows the other things that are going to happen in your life, work, friendship, you know, family, wealth, you know, all of the changes that are going to happen. And you're saying to Allah, I prioritize my soul enough to come to you, Ya Rabbi, in absolute humility, in absolute servitude, asking you, the one who knows everything, the one who knows me, the one who knows him or her, the one who knows my future, Ya Rabbi, tell me, make this clear to me. Is this going to be a means of me returning my soul back to you in the most beautiful way? If it is, then bring it to me and bring me to it. If it isn't, then distance me from it and distance it from me. And istikhara is the most beautiful manifestation of prioritizing your soul's relationship with Allah prior to getting married. Now, what about during marriage? How does prioritizing our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal during marriage manifest? What happens? And this is where I'm going to need to bring in the whiteboard. So there's something that I came across a number of years ago, and it's just stuck with me, subhanAllah. It's absolutely beautiful. Can everyone see the whiteboard? Can everyone see?
Yes.
Excellent, alhamdulillah. So it was the form of a triangle. And at the top, the priority is our relationship with Allah. You can see I'm not very good with the whiteboard here. Okay. And then you have the wife and you have the husband. Now, for those who haven't come across this, only for those who haven't come across this, what do you notice about the distance? Can anyone tell me? What do you know about the distance? What do you know? What do you see here? What are your thoughts about this triangle? VIP room, would love to
I'm
hear
from you. Giving these VIPs a chance. Put them on the hot seat.
VIPs, what do you notice?
As I've got an answer from YouTube, Fatima says that they're similar. The distances are similar.
Okay. Anyone else?
The further you are from Allah, the further you are from each other, and vice versa.
Right. Okay.
That it's balanced, that there's the same distance, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the priority, that they're equidistant. These are the answers that are coming through.
Jazakallah khair. So as you can see here, the greater the distance between Allah and the spouses, the greater the distance between the spouses themselves. Okay. Now, what happens when the spouses work on themselves? What happens when the spouses really, really internalize the fact that marriage is a means of returning their soul to Allah in the best possible state? What happens when they come closer to Allah through internalizing that, through actioning that? When the wife and the husband become stronger in their faith, when they prioritize their soul above each other, above the marriage itself, then what happens is the closer they become to Allah and the closer they become to each other. When I came across this years ago, I just thought it was mind-blowing. And it's so simple. So simple and yet so profound at the same time. When we don't prioritize our soul with Allah, then we will find more problems in our marriage. We will find greater emotional distance and sometimes even intimate distance between us and our spouse. But when we come close to Allah, when Allah reigns supreme in our life, when Allah is more important than our husband, when Allah is more important than our wife, when Allah is more important than our marriage, then not only are we blessed with a nearness and closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal, but it brings the two together too. Subhanallah. It's simple, as I said, but it's also profound. Now, all marriages have challenges. Every single marriage has its challenge. Now, when we think about the parent and child relationship, or the child and parent relationship, if you want to flip it, if you don't have children, yeah, subhanAllah, children come from the womb. There is no closer relationship than between a mother and her child. And yet even that relationship has its challenges. So imagine two imperfect people with all of their flaws and all of their imperfections coming together in the union of marriage, living together. There will be challenges, there will be issues, there will be problems. When your soul and its relationship with Allah comes first, you deal with conflict differently. You deal with conflict with your soul and not your ego. I'm going to repeat that. When your soul and its relationship with Allah comes first, you will deal with the challenges, the issues, the problems with your soul and not your ego. And so in doing so, your soul comes out winning. Remember, when someone chooses, when someone, you know, I always say, I'm a revert. I've been Muslim 23 years. And, you know, people often ask me, oh, tell me how you became Muslim. You know, and I take them back 23 years ago to the time I took my Shahada and the events that led up to it. But you know what? Even though I'm a revert, and that is the moment I stepped into the fold of Islam, over the 23 years, I've had to renew that contract with Allah. I've had to sit with myself and ask myself, yes, 23 years ago, I entered the fold of Islam, but am I living up to that? Am I, you know, are my actions, is my character in alignment with that? Am I prioritizing Allah above all else? Am I prioritizing my soul's relationship with Allah above all else? And that contract is renewed again and again and again and has to be renewed until the day that I die. So when your soul and its relationship with Allah reigns supreme in your marriage, you're going to look at challenges differently. You're going to look at problems and you're going to ask yourself, how can I manage this? How can I navigate this so that I come out of this conflict, this issue, this challenge with my soul at a point that if I were to die immediately after, I have returned my soul in its best possible state? You will look at the issues within your marriage in a completely different light. Now, I'm saying this, and I know firsthand how difficult that is. So what does that tell us? That tells us that the work that we have to do in living by the fact that our soul and its relationship with Allah is the most important priority in our life has to be a continuous effort. It has to be a continuous journey. Even during good times in a marriage, beautiful times, great times, you know, times of great emotional intimacy and connection and fun and laughter, the soul has to come first. Your soul and its relationship with Allah has to come first. And when your soul and its relationship with Allah comes first, even during the most beautiful, amazing times in a marriage, the manifestation of that is that you attribute all of those beautiful times back to Allah. Before your husband, before your wife, you whisper to Allah and you say, Ya Rabbi, thank you. I'm grateful. I am a grateful servant. I appreciate what you have given to me. I appreciate this beautiful moment in my marriage, this, you know, what my spouse has done for me. It's from you, Ya Rabbi. Thank you. And Allah says, remember me, I will remember you. When you turn to Allah in gratitude first for all of the beautiful, amazing things that He has gifted you in your spouse and in your marriage, it increases the blessings in your marriage. And if that isn't success, then I don't know what is. Gratitude is your soul's food on this journey in this dunya to the akhirah. Now, I want to ask you a question. When you came across the amazing, mashallah, tabarakallah, marketing material for this conference, and, you know, mashallah, you saw the yellow posters and images on social media. When it mentioned successful marriages, what was the first thing that came to mind? I would like to open the floor for some answer to that question. When you saw the materials advertising secrets of successful marriages, what came to mind? What was the first thing that came to mind for you? VIP room, would love to hear from you first, please. Sakina in your marriage. Okay, Sakina in your marriage, mashallah. Anyone else?
I'll keep an eye on the YouTube because it takes a couple of seconds.
No worries. I have here, I thought I needed the secrets. Mm-hmm. Finding help and support. Jazakallah khair.
A sister from YouTube said, not getting divorced.
Do you know what? I like that answer. That's the perfect answer for me to move on to my next point, mashallah. So in the VIP room, someone said Sakina, someone said that they need the secrets, finding help and support, finding resolutions to complicated issues. And I'm sure all of that and more will follow with the rest of the speakers, inshallah. But I want to make a point here, and I'm so glad that the sister said to not get divorced. Is that what she said, Naima?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, another question. Can a widowed woman or a widowed husband, can they fall under the category of having been in a successful marriage? VIP room, would love to hear from you first before we go to YouTube. Okay, yes. Someone has said yes. Another yes. Someone said no. Someone said yes. Okay. YouTube, Naima?
Coming through. I've got lots of answers to the previous question coming through. Siman says yes. People say yes. Yeah, okay. Everybody's saying yes, pretty much.
Okay. My next question. Can a divorced woman, and this goes back to one of the viewers on YouTube who said that she kind of, you know, she looked at the poster and thought, I want to know how not to get divorced. So next question, can a divorced woman fall under, divorced woman or divorced man?
Divorcee, male or female, is that the question?
Can a divorcee fall under the category of having been in a successful marriage? VIP room first.
Stirring the pot, I see. Okay. Give the VIPs a go and then I'll check.
Okay, so VIP is saying, for me, no, I'm divorced twice. Someone is saying no. That was Hawa, Ibtisam. MashaAllah. Anyone from YouTube?
Yeah, they get your answers. Okay, so we've got no, we've got yes, of course. We can yes if it made them get closer to Allah. Someone understood the assignment. Yes, yes. Yes, if she has become closer to Allah or he closer to Allah as a result of it, then yes, yes and no to divorcee. No, okay. Yes.
Okay, so mix, mashallah.
Yeah, mix actually. Yes, because the marriage could not have been the best for the person. Yes and no. Yes. Yes. If the good and bad brought remembrance of Allah, it can be successful. Yes, you can learn from your previous marriage what to do for the next. Yes and no. Yes, if the marriage brought them closer to Allah. Yes, because a divorce makes you closer to Allah. Yes, you don't know Allah's plan. Yes, but society thinks not at all. Okay.
Wow, mashallah. Okay, so I would like to say what I think, and then I would like to explain why I think what I think. I would say a divorcee can fall under the category of having been in a successful marriage. A divorcee can be described as a successful wife or a successful husband. How? Let's go back to the beginning of this session. Who gives you the title of being a successful wife or successful husband? Who is the only one that can award that title? Allah, right? Can you ever know if you've been a successful wife or if you've been a successful husband? Can you ever know in this dunya if you have truly earned that title? No, because that title can only be given by Allah. You can be told that you're a good wife. You can be told that you're a good husband. You can be told that you do A, B, C, X, Y, Z. You can be described by people who have a small window into the life of your marriage that, oh, mashallah, she's a good wife. She has an amazing marriage, or mashallah, tabarakallah, he's a good husband. He works hard towards having the amazing, fantastic marriage that they have. But at the end of it, who is the only one that can award you that title? It is only Allah, because he knows the ins and outs of who you are. He knows the ins and outs of your marriage. He knows the ins and outs of what you have and haven't contributed towards that marriage. Now, the wife and husband role. The wife and husband role is intricately linked to the role of being a believer. Okay? You, in your role as husband or wife, is part of your quest to return your soul to Allah Azza wa Jal in its best possible state. I don't think any Muslim will disagree with that. We know that getting married is fulfilling half of your deen. It's a means towards worshipping Allah. It is worship, subhanAllah. So if the wife and husband role is part of your role as believer, as wanting to be a successful believer, it is only Allah who knows whether you have been successful in your marriage as a wife, as a husband, or not. So a divorced woman or man, a divorcee, may have been a successful wife or husband because of his or her patience in the previous marriage. A divorcee may fall under the category of having been in a successful marriage, having been part of a successful marriage, because they fulfilled the rights in a certain way. They may fall under that category because they put their soul first and even made the decision after much heartache, after much dua, after much praying in the last part of the night, after much istikhara, to leave an abusive marriage because their soul came first. So, you know, the reason why I'm mentioning this in relation to the topic of, you know, our relationship with Allah as the foundation, is that I don't want anyone, man or woman, who is widowed, who is divorced, to think, because I'm not in a marriage, that doesn't apply to me. Or because I left a marriage, or he left me, particularly in regards to the divorce situation, that I have been unsuccessful. The success of a marriage, whether you're still in a marriage or you're outside of a marriage, is with Allah Azza wa Jal alone. You may find yourself divorced. Someone in the comments said that they've been divorced twice. You don't know if you are more successful than someone who is married, who isn't fulfilling rights, who, you know, is treating their spouse like trash. You may have left a marriage where you did everything that you could in that marriage, but qadr Allah wa masha'a fal, it was part of your qadr that the two of you would go your separate ways. So I had to mention this because you may in the sight of Allah be a successful husband or a successful wife, even though the marriage has now ended. Because when your marriage is about you returning your soul to Allah in its best possible state, even if that marriage ends or has ended, it was about all that you did for Allah. And that is what makes you successful. So my message is this: you can, with Allah, be a successful husband or successful wife, even if you've never even been married before. How? By your intentions. You know, subhanAllah, those that have never been married and wish to marry, and the spouse is not coming, and, you know, subhanAllah, you know, I had a close friend who someone in the VIP room said, Jazakallah khair wa iyyakum. And I really hope this message sits with those who have found themselves divorced, and it provides some sort of comfort and some sort of hope that, success is with you prioritizing your soul with Allah. Anyway, going back to my point. So those who have never been married, who wish to marry, you can be a successful wife or husband, even if you're not married. Even if qadr Allah wa masha'a fal, Allah decrees that you never marry. And we pray that Allah brings you the perfect spouse for you. How? By your intentions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The one who intends to do a good deed, and what greater deed is there than marrying for the sake of Allah? And he does not do it, he will get rewarded for it as if he did it." So those of you who are listening into this, you have never been married, spouse hasn't arrived. I had a friend who was looking to get married for years and years and years, and mashallah, she after a long time of being patient and waiting for the right one, you know, she finally got married. But subhanallah, during the journey of wanting to get married and trying to find your spouse, intend big. Intend that you want to be a wife or husband that pushes the soul of your spouse towards Allah. Intend that you want to engage and interact with your spouse when you do get married in a way that elevates your soul with your Lord. Have those intentions. And guess what? Even if you don't get married, you'll be rewarded as if you did everything that you dream of doing to prioritize your soul with your Lord through marriage. You will be rewarded in full form. Number two, you can, with Allah, be a successful husband or wife and enjoy a successful marriage, even if you are no longer married. Okay. You can be with Allah. You can, with Allah, be a successful wife or husband, even if you are no longer married. You don't know if you will stand on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, and Allah will award you with the title of being a successful, having been a successful wife, having been a successful husband, even if at the moment of your death, you die unmarried. How? By the sacrifices you made in your previous marriage. By the patience that you held onto, by placing your soul with Allah as the priority when he has left you or when she has left you, when you made a difficult decision to leave him, when you made the difficult decision to leave her, or when, subhanAllah, qadr Allah, you just both agreed to part ways. You can, with Allah, be awarded that title because of how you interacted, engaged with your spouse in your previous marriage. So I guess what I'm trying to say here as I end this short reminder is, regardless of your marriage status, whether you're single, never been married, have been married, divorced, widowed, in marriage, still married, happily married, unhappily married, regardless of what stage you're at, your soul's relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal is the foundation of your life. And when it's the foundation of your life, it becomes the foundation of whatever stage you're at, whether that's pre-marriage, in marriage, post-marriage. So I just want to mention, as I end, just some practical ways to protect that important foundation at all stages, pre-marriage, in marriage, post-marriage. Number one, having a regular, consistent, close, intimate relationship with the Quran. How can you prioritize your relationship with Allah? How can that be the foundation of your marriage or the stage of the marriage process that you're at if you are not reading his words, if you're not hearing him, if you're not seeing him through his beautiful words that he has preserved until the end of this world, subhanAllah. So don't just simply recite, read, get the tafsir, listen to talks about the verses, engage in a process of tadabbur, reflecting, applying it to what you're going through right now at this moment. What is the message for me? I've read this verse. What does this mean to me? I'm going through this. What is this telling me? How can I bring this to my life? Okay. Number two, know your Lord. You are never going to be able to prioritize your soul's relationship with Allah if you don't know who Allah is. You're never going to be able to navigate marriage, pre-marriage, in marriage, post-marriage, if you don't know who Allah is. You need to commit yourself to studying His names and attributes and then bringing them to life in your life. Recognizing, oh, subhanAllah, today, that was Al-Razaq. Today, I need to call upon Ar-Rahman. SubhanAllah, Al-Wadud showed me His love in the most beautiful way, in this way. Get to know your Lord and you will yearn to prioritize your soul for His sake during marriage. And the third is when you combine the two, when you're living with His words, interacting with His words, applying it to your life, you know, you're doing so, knowing who He is, seeing who He is in your life, interacting with who He is, with His names and attributes. When you combine the two into salah and dua, it can transform your life completely, and it will transform pre-marriage, what you look for, how you look for it, in marriage, how you are when things are great and beautiful and wonderful, and may Allah increase that for everyone who is married, and how you navigate it when things are tough and when things are rough, you know. And then even when, Qadr Allah, when the marriage ends, or if the marriage ends, and we ask Allah to keep marriages together, that you're able to navigate that with a closeness with the Lord of the heavens and the earth. And so I would like to end with two things. Number one is I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to enable us to prioritize our soul's relationship with Him as our number one priority before, during, and if He has decreed, after our marriages. Ameen. And I'm just going to end this talk with another excerpt from my upcoming book, Ramadan Reflections, which is available for pre-order via the link in my bio on Instagram, Alia_Umrayan. And this, I'll just read this excerpt where I write, we get caught up with this dunya. We become so attached to it as though we will live here forever. We are on a temporary journey to our permanent home. SubhanAllah, imagine not only entering upon your permanent home, but also meeting the one who got you there. Jazakallah khair for the opportunity for speaking at this wonderful conference. I pray the rest of the conference is blessed. And I pray that this opening session places the viewers' souls, places the viewers in a mindset and heart set where they prioritize their soul with Allah, so that as they listen to the rest of the speakers, they take everything that will enable them to return their soul to Allah in the best possible state, bi'idhnillah. Jazakumullah khair. And that's the end of my session. Barakallahu fiqh.
Jazakallah kullu khair, sis. Thank you so much. That was amazing. And everybody is very, very happy in YouTube. And please do go in there and check the comments, guys. Like the video, share the stream, and Jazakallah khair, Alia Umrayan, and congratulations on your book. We will be sure to go to your Instagram and pre-order it, because as I've said, it is probably going to sell out, guys. So my suggestion is that you get in there before it sells out, so that you get a chance to not only get the book, be able to benefit from the book during Ramadan, but also get the goodies that I'm sure she has planned for those who pre-order. So Jazakallah khair, Umrayan. See you soon. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right. So guys, Jazakallah khairan, everyone. What did you think of that? Where are we at, everybody? Just shoot a comment in the chat. I'd love to hear what your takeaways were from that session. Those of you who are in VIP, let us know your feedback. And those of you who are watching, hundreds of you, mashallah, let me know your biggest takeaways in the comments, inshallah, in the live chat. Great to see the energy in there. Great to see some light bulb moments, which is always what we want. I want to just share with you guys, because we have a gap. We have another hour to go before our next panel, before our first panel, actually. So I wanted to share a few things with you. I know that in some parts of the world, Jummah just ended. Some are going to Jummah. So that's why we've kind of kept this a bit loose. But one of the things that I find very gratifying when I'm planning these types of events, whether it's a podcast series or it's a conference on a specific topic, is writing that topic in the middle of the page and then brainstorming all the different angles that we could take on this topic. All the different issues, all the different challenges, all the different tools, the strategies, the ideas, any way that we can address this topic from multiple angles to be able to give us a fresh perspective, right? And alhamdulillah, one of the things that I have found consistently through having the marriage conversation since the beginning of the year, since our last conference, is this crucial reminder that, mashallah, we hear it, right? We hear scholars speaking about it. We hear du'at, you know, ustadat, you know, everybody will mention this in some form or fashion, but still we find it difficult to implement. And that is what Ali Umrayyan mentioned and what her whole talk was about, which was it being about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It being for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it being by His grace, for His pleasure, and this being the way of the believer. This is what differentiates us from everybody else, guys. Listen, the whole world is in a panic with regards to relationships, okay? That's clear, okay? Everybody out there is struggling in some form or fashion with relationships between men and women, let's call it that, okay? The problems that our society is facing, we are not immune, right? We are facing some of the same problems, not all of them, but some of the same problems and even some of our own problems, right? What differentiates the believer who is going through this trial of related to relationships, whatever it may be? You can't find someone. You keep, you know, not being able to get the one you want, you know, disappointments, cancellations, betrayals, right? A marriage that doesn't fulfill its purpose, a marriage that, you know, in which you're unhappy, in which, you know, you can't make the other person happy, you know, long-term unhappiness, in-law issues, you know, threats of divorce, divorcing, post-divorce, remarriage, blended families, all of this stuff. These are human problems. Everyone is facing the same problems. Society's lost its moorings. Everybody's drifting, you know, in a sea of kind of desires and expectations. And we are similarly drifting. But there is hope. And the hope is we have what majority of people out there don't have. We have a compass. We have a belief that if we leaned into it, if we truly embodied it, it would help us solve so many of the problems that we are facing. And it is what the first talk was about. Who are you doing it for? Who is it for at the end of the day? Is it for him? Is it for her? Is it for your ego? Is it for your image? Is it for your mother, your father, your in-laws? Is it for the kids? Is it for society? Is it for status? Is it for wealth? Is it for desires? What's it all for? Whether you're looking, you're in it, or you're out of it, who is it for? Answer that question honestly. Not to say that doing nice things for your wife or husband is bad, or wanting to please your parents is bad, or being in it for the sake of the kids is bad. None of it's bad. But Who is it for at the end of the day when you sit with yourself and you have an honest conversation and you peel back the layers and you peel back the story? What is really the root of why you are doing what you're doing, whether it's looking, marrying, staying, whatever it is that you're doing? Who is it all for? As a Muslim, as a person who knows their purpose on this earth, the reason for their creation, who knows and understands that they have a Lord who sees and knows and hears everything, a Lord who has specifically chosen the challenges for them on this path, a person who knows that this life is temporary and that the next life is forever, a person who knows that they are not guaranteed even one more day. Who is it for? If you are that person that I just described, your eventual answer under the layers, under the story, when you peel everything back, I want you to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the state that we should be aiming for. My living and my dying is for Allah. My staying and my going is for Allah. My investing, my nurturing, my forgiving, my patience, my loving, my hating is for Allah. That's what the hadith says, right? We as the adults, we need to figure this out and start living according to our belief. And we must start showing up as believers in our marriages. Showing up as a believer in your marriage. I'm merely reiterating what Ali Amrayan said, which is that you come to the marriage as a means of worship, as a means of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is your mindset with the marriage. That's how you show up. That's your intention. That's at the base of everything you do. Because remember this, deeds done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never, never be lost. I'll repeat that. Deeds done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be lost. Do you remember Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, married to one of the most evil men? Certainly in the Quran, he's one of the baddies, right? Brutal, murderer, vicious, kafir. What did she say? Her dua was for Allah. Oh Allah, build for me a house with you in Jannah. Her desire was for closeness and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was her desire, that was her dua. So for us as adults to realign ourselves with our deen and the guidance of our deen and remind ourselves of everything I just mentioned, who is it for? How long do you have? What is the assignment on your life? What have you been tasked to do? What are the responsibilities that you've been given? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to question you about? Make it about that. Unfortunately, we may not hear this. Maybe we don't hear it enough. Maybe we're too obsessed with the dunya. Maybe we're just too weak. I don't know. But we very rarely hear us advising each other to do it for the sake of Allah. Whatever it is that you're doing, for the sake of Allah. We want validation from the people. We want appreciation from the people. We want to see the same energy coming back. We want to be matched. We want to be on the same wavelength. We want what we want. Which is fine. You can want what you want. But the question is, how much of that wanting is interfering with our ability to worship Allah through our relationships? I'm going to take a pause. I want to take the temperature in the room. Are you guys picking up what I'm putting down? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Is it making sense? Because what we're seeing is us as Muslims bringing in our nafs into conversations about marriage, before, during, after. It's nafs, it's desires, it's our humanness, if you like, all right? It's ego, it's expectations. It's very rarely remembering that this person is amana. I don't know how long I have this person for. I could die at any time. How do I want to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I being sincere? Am I a sincere wife? Am I a sincere husband? Am I doing this for Allah? Can I do this for Allah? Because the answer to the question may be, no, I'm not doing it for Allah. I'm doing it because He expects it. Or I'm doing it because I don't want a headache, whatever, right? But can you do it for the sake of Allah? So no, I'm not doing it for Allah because I hate Him. Or I'm not doing it for Allah because I can't stand her. Fine, fair enough. Can you do it for the sake of Allah? Could you? If this was your job, your work, to play the role that you're playing right now, could you do it for the sake of Allah? And would that be something that you put forward, that you are prepared to put forward towards your akhirah, to invest for the sake of the future, for the sake of your akhirah? Sis says, absolutely, it's hitting home. Let me see what's happening on the other side of the world. So we've got, I agree that marriage is meant to bring us closer to Allah, but marriage only works if two people put in the effort. Really? So Naima says, let's say they do it for the sake of Allah, but does that not mean they are being patient in unhappy marriages? Keep it coming, guys. I want to hear. I want to take the temperature. Good, good, good. All right. As the advice for going into a marriage, fulfilling half the deen and pleasing Allah, please also remind each other that your spouse is meant to be a source of comfort. Yes, okay. Showing up as believers. Right. Cool. All right. So let's make sure. Okay. So thank you so much, guys, for sharing. Sis says, what you're asking us to do is to be unhappily patient in marriage. Okay. So let's come back. This is, for those of you who haven't been watching the videos on this channel and haven't been, you know, kind of tuning into the discussions that we've been having, I want to make something very, very clear. Okay. This dunya is a test. This dunya is a place of test and examination. Okay. Let's at least agree on that. Now, what we get to do as human beings is pretty much choose our hard. There is never or very rarely a solution that is without its own trials. So there's a problem, there's a solution. The problem has its trials. And typically the solutions that you're considering, they also have their trials. So whenever we're talking about marriage and relationships, and I want to make this very, very clear, okay, this is a super, super important point that I want everyone to take, because it's a point that we've been iterating and reiterating this year. If you are in a marriage in which you are not happy, we need to peel back layers and ask why you are not happy, because every one of us is responsible for our own happiness. Yes, our spouse has duties that they should fulfill, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told them that there are certain things that they must do, okay, that are his duties. He gave them to him. Like, that's your job, okay? Husband, that's your job. Wife, that's your job, okay? So not to take responsibility away from anybody else, but what do you do if the person you're married to is not fulfilling the role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them? Okay. In fact, I don't even want to talk about that those kind of basic things, because those are baselines. Those are Muslim, as Muslims, those are our baselines, right? We must fulfill our roles as husbands and wives according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, which is quite simple, really. Quite simple, it's quite basic. Husbands, protect and provide, lead the family. Wives, obey, be chaste, and look after your family, okay? And both of you, worship Allah and be good Muslims and strive. It's kind of, you know, of course, there's layers and there's a little bit of shade in here and there. But basically, that's what we're talking about. Now, can you find yourself with a good Muslim and you don't connect emotionally? Yes. Could you find yourself married to a good Muslimah and find that physically the attraction isn't there? Yes. Just because somebody is a good Muslim does not mean that on other levels, the two of you are compatible or that the two of you work together, etc. So let's first and foremost realize that there is no quick fix. You choose your heart. So if, for example, you find yourself in a marriage where you've had, mashallah, children together, you've been together for a certain amount of time, and you know, you say that you're unhappy in that marriage, you have a choice. We all have choices. No one can tell you what to do. You choose. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you free will. I think the main thing is to just be aware of the fact that you choose your heart. So you can either decide to find your happiness and stay in the marriage and yet find your happiness, maybe from elsewhere, maybe finding fulfillment elsewhere, maybe finding coping mechanisms, maybe broadening your social circle, maybe just purifying your intention. You may decide to stay in that marriage for the sake of the family unit. And the hard in that situation is coming to terms with the fact that there are certain things maybe that this spouse will never be able to give you. That's the hard. You may decide to leave, in which case you embrace another set of hard. You may hope to find somebody else out there who is more compatible, who is a better fit. Has it happened before? Yes. Is it common? I'd argue maybe no. Is it easy? Certainly not. Because when you have left the marriage now, there are a whole set of other problems that you now have to deal with, but you get to choose your heart. So especially I find that sisters do, you know, if there is a personal thing that's been touched on in when someone is speaking, we tend to personalize it. We tend to take it personally. We tend to, you know, allow it to make us feel some type of way. Sis, if your situation is untenable, it's untenable. And nobody is telling you to stay in a situation in which your soul, your body, your mind are being destroyed. That's obvious, yeah? But if people come to you and are presenting sincere advice, are presenting the deen, presenting reminders, take what makes sense to your situation. If it doesn't make sense to your situation, just leave it. But don't take what the advice personally and make it about yourself or an attack on yourself. Speakers can only speak generally. Speakers can only advise generally. So anyone out there who's listening to this, please, if you are in a situation where you are struggling and you need support, inshallah, get the support you need. Don't expect to get advice that applies to you on general videos, because, you know, the video is likely to be watched by tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people, mashallah. So if you, a brother or a sister, is struggling in your relationship, get the help and support you need. If you have questions that are not answered, get the support you need. Don't expect to find something specific to your situation in a general talk. Anyway, akhiran, let me get back to my original point. My original point is this. If we are able to put the ego aside, put the dunyawi concerns to the side, and focus on answering the questions that Ali Om Rayyan invited us to ask. Who are we doing it for? How is this impacting us as Muslims? How, you know, in what state is our soul? Can we inspire and motivate and support our spouse in order to be able to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for them to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best way? If the answer is yes, then it's worth doing the work. And the issues in our marriages, yes, there are some people who have issues due to deen differences. right? Or people not doing their duty, their Islamic duties. We have those issues, yes. But a lot of the issues that we hear spoken about, that we hear about as well, are other than that, are to do with personality clashes, are to do with personal challenges, are to do with people feeling like they've outgrown each other, people being on different pages, right? People feeling like this is not what I signed up for, this is not what I wanted. And for all of us who have decent spouses, and I've said this before, and I will continue to say this, for those of you who have a decent spouse, I invite you and encourage you to renew your intention. To renew your intention to be in this marriage for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To show up in this marriage as a believer who is aware, who is grateful, who is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has taqwa, and who takes pride and pleasure in doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects of us, who allows that to be their source of validation, who allows that to be their source of affirmation, who allows that to make them feel good in the situation. Why do I say this? Is it to avoid divorce? Is it so we don't have any more divorces in the community? I don't think any of us can say that there will never be divorces in the community. Some divorces need to happen. Okay? And we know from the seerah that divorce is something that Muslims have always done, right? But we also know that the cost of divorce, especially where children are involved, is very high, especially in the society we live in today. And divorced couples walk with a whole host of problems that that cannot be easily sorted out, cannot easily be supported, cannot easily be dealt with. It creates another set of problems. And so when speakers and people calling to Allah and du'at, etc., and even experts, etc., talk about strengthening our marriages, how to be in the marriage, how to stay in the marriage, how to make your marriage healthier, how to invest in your marriage, a part of that is we don't want families to split up. We don't want families to split up. In general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us to come together for his sake, to start our families, inshallah, and to invest in the next generation of Muslims, and to worship him and to have a family based upon the taqwa of Allah, right? So, yes, we will continue to advise people to work on it. We will continue to advise people to be patient as long as they can. We will advise people to get help. We will advise people to get support. And I will also advise everyone here to start training your children early. Start having these conversations with your children so that the next generation does not have the issues that we are having. Train your sons to be husbands. Train your daughters to be wives. Explain to them the purpose of marriage. Model as much as you can what an Islamic marriage looks like. How many of our kids are growing up in homes where there isn't an Islamic marriage? There's just a crazy marriage between two Muslims. That's what they see. We have this opportunity to model healthy, taqwa-filled relationships. And why do I say we have this opportunity? Because we have a blueprint. And as I said at the beginning of this, most people out there are navigating the whole world of relationships with no blueprint. Oh, they have a blueprint, but it's from songs and movies and online spaces and online conversations. But we do have a blueprint if we simply lean into that, inshallah. So that's really what I wanted to kind of just drop in there. It's this doing it for the sake of Allah, going towards it for the sake of Allah, being in it for the sake of Allah, and on the other side, continuing to live for the sake of Allah, that is what differentiates us from everyone else out there. And if we allow it to, that is what will allow us, inshallah, protect us from the fitan of these times. So I'll give you guys a chance to share your responses. Would love to see what resonates with you or what your thoughts are before we wrap up our session. I think we'll have a half an hour break before we come back again at, I believe it is going to be 12 o'clock for our next session. But VIPs, let me know in the chat if there's anything that you want to share, that you want to add, any pushback or feedback that you want to give. Regarding the previous talk, we have, alhamdulillah, what the sister said was on point, mashallah. I've never looked at it like that, but I feel it's exactly, I felt it exactly how she explained it. Wow. It was like she spoke the words my soul has been trying to express, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. As, we've got people here in the VIPs who hope to remarry, inshallah. And sis here says, how about making a difficult decision to stay and commit to working to keep a marriage? That's exactly what I've been speaking about, inshallah. Let me see what is being said on YouTube. Right. So, ooh, wow. Okay. The chat is jumping. The chat is jumping out. So we're going to have to come back to that. So listen, guys, Jazakallah khairan for being here for our first session. Fantastic to have you on. Great to see that there is a real conversation happening online. So if you want to know what's happening online, guys, just watch the live chat and you'll be able to catch up on what everybody was saying. But for now, we're going to end this live stream and we'll be back at 12 UK time in order to have our next session, which is, I'm sure, going to ruffle some feathers, because we've got two sisters who are going to be talking about whether successful women can make good wives. I've got Sister Rosaline Batul and Sister Maryam Arafat who are going to be joining me for that conversation. So with the large number of Muslim women, like all other women, getting degrees, starting businesses, having careers, this has become a real issue within the community, where there is this mismatch between what the sisters are going for and what they want to go for and what the brothers are saying they want. So our next session, we are going to talk about whether successful women can make good wives. Is it a yes? Is it a no? If it's a yes, then how? Right? How can that be? And if it's a no, then what are we going to do with all of these absolutely successful career women in the Muslim community who are trying to get married? Let's have that conversation, guys. I will see you again in about half an hour. For now, we're going to sign off and I will see you in the chat, inshallah. Those of you, my VIPs, would love to see you on the other side, inshallah. And I'll see you at 12. All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.